The other important incident which happened in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the issue of Hadith al-Ifk. Hadith al-Ifk, we can say, is probably the most important thing which happened in the life of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, she left with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to a place, again we mentioned it before, called Banu Mustalaq. And during this trip, the same trip which she lost her necklace in, she had to use the restroom. And in those days, the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to be carried on top of the camels, kind of in a small compartment. And people would have to lift that compartment up off the ground and put it back on the camel. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked to be dismounted from her camel, and she went to use the restroom. And she said, subhanAllah, in those days, I was very, very light. And when I went to use the restroom, the people, they lifted up this small compartment and they were unable to tell if I was in there or not. And they put it back on the camel. And subhanAllah, the party of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left. And there was Aisha radiallahu anha in the middle of the desert alone. She says that she came back to the place and she found nobody there. So she began to rest on a rock. And suddenly a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam who lagged behind, named Safwan, he came and there he saw our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Although she was completely covered, he recognized her because he knew her from before, a long time ago. And he said, "Yeah, O mother of the believers, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What has happened to you?" And she refused to answer him. And he concluded from this that she had been left behind. So Safwan radiallahu anhu, he put Aisha radiallahu anha on top of his camel and he walked her back to Medina. Upon entering Medina, Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites, he saw this and he said to his companions, the meaning of which is, "I'm going to get her. I'm going to get this woman." Because subhanAllah, in this time, around the sixth year after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina, it was impossible for anyone to attack the leadership of the Muslims. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his character was so great that nobody could attack him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his character, the right-hand man of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was so great that nobody could attack him. So what could you attack now? The family of the Prophet, the family of the leadership of the Muslims. So at that moment, Abdullah bin Ubay, he began to spread al-ifk. Al-ifk in Arabic, it means a'adhamu kadib. It means a lie which is so great and so far from the truth about a person. Aisha radiallahu anha, coming back into Medina, she became ill and she stayed in her house for about a month. And finally one day she came out of her home and she went to use the restroom with Mistah radiallahu anha. Mistah is the mother of one of the great companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Mistah. And upon going to the restroom, heading out to the desert, suddenly Mistah, she stumbled. And as she stumbled, she said, "May Mistah be destroyed." Aisha radiallahu anha, being this pious, noble woman, she said to Mistah, "Hey, watch what you're saying, you backbiting people. Don't talk badly about people." Nowadays, subhanAllah, it's very easy for us to backbite and talk about people and we never correct each other. Here we see Aisha radiallahu anha, even correcting the mother of Mistah, is talking about Mistah. Then Mistah, she said to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Haven't you heard what the people say about you? Because I'm only abusing him because of you." She said, "What are you talking about?" Then she told the whole story to Aisha radiallahu anha. In fact, Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, she says, "I noticed in those days while I was ill that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was cold to me. He was not as nice to me as he usually was." And Aisha radiallahu anha, she went to her home. And finally the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came. And subhanAllah, where does a person turn in difficulties and hardships? She said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Let me go to the house of my parents." Subhanallah, how many of us parents, our children have this relationship with us? They feel that we're the first people they can turn to. Nowadays, unfortunately, the Muslim youth, they feel the last person that they can talk to is their father or their mother. Many times I talk to the young Muslims and they say, you know, I want to get married. I say, okay, go ask your father. No. That's the last person I can ask. SubhanAllah, fathers, you got to be the first person that your children can talk to. It's not cool to have that feeling of fear and awe of your parents to the extent that you can't even go and talk to them. So here we see Aisha radiallahu anha. She went to her parents' home. And this long hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari. And upon entering her home, her mother Umm Rumayn, she came to her. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said something amazing. She said, is it really true what they're saying about me? Look, subhanAllah, at this good suspicion that Aisha, she has for the believers. She always gives the good suspicion to the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا جَتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ. All you who believe, leave some suspicion, because indeed, some suspicion is a sin. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. That suspicion will never, ever, ever override the truth. So she said to her mother, is it true what they're saying about me nowadays? The sister, she goes to the masjid and someone says, you know what they were saying? Your jilbab is a disco jilbab. They were saying that your hijab is a Kmart hijab. A brother, they say, you know, this and this. And we immediately believe them. Here we see Aisha radiallahu anha. She has this husnul dhun. So she says to her mother, is it really, really true what they're saying about me? And then subhanAllah, Umm Rumayn, she said yes. And then our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she started crying, man. She started crying. And Umm Rumayn radiallahu anha, she started crying too. SubhanAllah, this is the reality of slander and the reality of backbiting people, that it hurts people. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it haram in the Quran. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every slander and backbiter. And the ulama like Abdullah bin Mubarak, they said, way, it's a wadi fi jahannam. That al-way, it is a valley in the hellfire. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Aisha says that he was upstairs and he was reading. SubhanAllah. She even noticed this is about her father, that he was upstairs in their house reading. And he came, and also they all became very upset about what they heard. After staying some time in the home of her parents, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was distraught by this rumor and he took shura from many people. One of the people that he took shura from was the greatest competitor of Aisha radiallahu anha, and that is Zainab bin Jahsh. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to Zainab bin Jahsh, his wife and the competitor of Aisha, and he asked her about Aisha. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, that wallahi, it was the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that saved Zainab bin Jahsh. The fear and piety that she has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her from committing this sin. And Zainab bin Jahsh, she said to the Prophet Ali salatu wasalam, by Allah, I only know good about this woman. Also, they asked the servant woman of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said the same thing. By Allah, the only thing I know about this woman is good. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to the home of Abu Bakr and Umm Rumayn. And there he visited our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said to her, I have heard this and this and this thing about you. If you are innocent, then do not fear. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exonerate you in the Quran. And if you are guilty, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no servant of Allah who does a sin and recognizes their sin except they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. Look at this da'iyah, look at this caller to Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that still he's given her this hope. Even if you did it, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives sins. Many times when we give da'wah, brothers and sisters, the only thing we give people hope in is the hellfire. But here we see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam balancing it, giving her hope in the paradise and fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he spoke, Aisha radiallahu anha, she looked at her mother. And her mother said, لا أدري ماذا أقول. I don't know what I'm going to say to him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then she looked at her father. He said, ما أدري ماذا أقول. لا أدري ماذا أقول. لا أدري ماذا أقول. I don't know what I'm going to say to him. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she's in this hard position now. Her parents can't speak on her behalf, and here's her husband in front of her with this horrible, horrible rumor. Where, subhanAllah, does the believer run to in times of hardship? Where, subhanAllah, does the believer turn to in difficulties? Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was a young woman in those days, and I had not memorized that much Quran. But she said to the Prophet ﷺ and her parents, if I say that I'm innocent, you've already decided in my case, meaning everybody thinks I'm guilty. And if I admit my guilt, by Allah, I didn't do this. So subhanAllah, she said to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and her parents, the only thing that I can think to say is what the father of Yusuf, Ya'qub, he said in Surah Yusuf, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانٌ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. That for me is a beautiful patience, and Allah is a helper over what they attribute. SubhanAllah, the believer goes to the Quran. When you have difficulties on campus, sit for 5 or 10 minutes and go to the Quran. When you have difficulties with your husband, go to the Quran. When you have difficulties with your wife, go to the Quran. When you have difficulties in your job, go to the Quran. It's said about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, even they would lose the tie which they would use to control their riding animals, it would be lost, and because of this, they would go to the Quran for the answer. Here we see Aisha radiallahu anha, this murabbiya, this sheikha, this da'iyah, in this difficult situation, she went to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Isra, that indeed this Qur'an, it guides to a straight path. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned, and as he began to leave, suddenly the revelation was sent upon him. And Aisha radiallahu anha was witnessing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ.
Allah says that if this Qur'an was sit on a mountain, it would crumble. Here Aisha is seeing the Qur'an being sent on the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he came back and he was smiling. And he said to our mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exonerated you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exonerated you. And he was very happy. Another lesson we take from this is that the believer, when they know they're right, and they know that they're on the truth, they never give up in their confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-thiqa billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that Aisha radiallahu anha has this firm conviction with Allah. Like sometimes at school, everyone around you is doing haram, and you start to feel, maybe I should do something wrong. No! Have this conviction that you're on the right path. In your workplace, you have sometimes this confusion around you. Ya Abdul, would you like to go to TGIF? Buy one, get one free, long necks. And you're thinking, man, subhanAllah, this is hard. Stay on the truth. Keep yourself straight, man. Here we see Aisha radiallahu anha. She has this confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the verses in Surah An-Nur. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatun minkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to talk about the people who spread al-ifk in the community of the Muslims. The people who spread the slander. You know, unfortunately, nowadays, we find parents, they sit around and talk about other parents' children in a bad way. We find people in the community, they talk about each other. This is al-ifk. This is buhtan. This is ghiba. You need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that these rumors and these lies, they are splitting the foundation and cracking the foundation of our community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave such a great, great punishment for those people who backbite the Muslims. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ was very happy. And the mother of Aisha, Umm Ruman, she told Aisha, go to the Prophet ﷺ. Go to him and thank him. And subhanAllah, look at the response of our mother. She said, Ba Allah, I will not thank you guys and I will not thank him. The only one I want to thank is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who exonerated me by his speech and words. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and her mother said, go and thank him. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she responded and said, by Allah, I'm not going to thank you, and I'm not going to thank him. The only one I have to thank is Allah, who has revealed my innocence. And she said, all of you guys heard the story, and none of you denied it. Subhanallah. This is a very, very important story, which we should study as Muslims to understand how our community has to function in the times of rumors and the times of lies about other Muslims. Another incident which happened in the life of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha happened in the 9th year after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in very, very difficult conditions. As we said before, that Aisha radiallahu anha says sometimes an entire month will go by and we have nothing to eat in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Man, subhanAllah, this is your Prophet, man. Look at us now, we go to all-you-can-eat buffets, we get to choose between paratha and chapati. We, subhanAllah, we're spoiled. Diet Coke, caffeine-free Diet Coke, caffeine diet-free Coke with no Pepsi. SubhanAllah, here we see Aisha radiallahu anha, they had very little to eat in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was at this time that some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Hafsa and Aisha in particular, they began to put pressure on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hook us up, man. Hook us up. Like nowadays, many of our brothers are out of jobs because of the hard economic situation that hit. And we see that the divorce rate in America is increasing amongst the Muslims. Sisters, you gotta be patient with your husband. It's not easy right now. Here we see Aisha and the rest of the wives of the Prophet putting a little bit of pressure upon the Prophet ﷺ. To such an extent that the Prophet ﷺ, and this time he fell from his animal because of the fitna that his wives created. And eventually the Prophet ﷺ, he secluded himself in a room for around 30 days to get away from the fitna that his wives were causing. SubhanAllah, sisters, if your husband's involved in the da'wah, if your husband's involved in calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supporting this religion, you have to know that your payoff is where? You're going to cash in the hereafter. When you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those people who make this struggle in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That indeed this is the manifest success. It was in these days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent some verses in the 33rd chapter of the Qur'an. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these verses came to him, he went to our mother Aisha. And when he came to her, he told her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the following verses to me. And he read the following verses to our mother.
Ya ayyuha an-nabiy qul li azwajika in kuntum تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالين أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد للمحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, say to your wives that indeed if you prefer the life of this world and its beauties, then come and I will give you great proportions from this dunya. And meaning that the Prophet will divorce them, but he's going to hook them up. If you don't want to be with the Prophet, okay, fine. Here, take this dunya and go about your business. But if you want what's with Allah and his messenger and a home in the hereafter, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promise and will give to the believing women from you a great, great reward. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read these verses to Aisha, our mother, radiallahu anha, and he said, if you like, you can go and talk to your parents and you can come to a decision. Again, see the leadership of the Prophet encouraging the young people to go to their parents. Aisha radiallahu anha, sisters, listen to her response. Listen to the response of your mother. When it comes to choosing between the dunya and the hereafter, what are you going to choose, sister? Every time you buy a jilbab, if you have 40 jilbab, why don't you buy one jilbab for yourself and one for the poor Muslims and give it to one of our relief organizations? Every time you do something that's related to this dunya, do something also for the hereafter. So he came to Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother. He read these verses and he told her, if you want, you can consult your parents. And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have no need to consult my parents about this. فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ SubhanAllah, what did our mother say? She said, I have no need to consult my parents in this issue, because indeed I want Allah, His Messenger, and the hereafter. La ilaha illallah. SubhanAllah, sister, are you praying your Fajr on time? Do you want Allah and His Messenger and the hereafter? Or do you want something in this life? Look at your mother Aisha bint Abi Bakr. فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ I want what's with Allah. I want what's with the Messenger of Allah. And I want the hereafter. The other incident which happened in the life of our mother Aisha bint Abi Bakr is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, toward the end of his life, around the last 13 days, every time he would go to one of the houses of his wives, he would say, Aina ana ghadan? Aina ana ghadan? Where am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be tomorrow? Hirsan ala bayti Aisha. With this enthusiasm that he will go to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Look at the connection of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam with our mother Aisha. That even in his sickness, who does he want to be with? He wants to be with our mother Aisha bint Abi Bakr. Finally, his day came to be with Aisha, and when they told him, he became happy. And the rest of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, from this day forward, he can stay with Aisha. He doesn't have to go to any of the other houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in the Quran, innaka mayyitu wa innahum mayyitun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, you're going to die, and they are going to die. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, toward the end of his sickness, he began to experience the pains of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَجَاءَتْ سَكَرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَهِيدُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Surah Al-Qaf about the pains and the difficulties of death. Indeed, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتِ Indeed, in the death, there is pains. أَوْكَمَ قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wasalam. It was in this time that Aisha, our mother, she began to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam with great enthusiasm. And she says, as related by an authentic narrator, one of Allah's bounties upon me is that the Messenger of Allah died in my house while I'm still alive. And she says, he died between my chest and neck while he was leaning against me. And she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mixed my saliva with the saliva of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at his death. What is she talking about? The brother of Aisha, Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, toward the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she came into the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was very ill. And she saw that Abdurrahman, he had this miswak in his hand and he was about to use it to clean his teeth. She asked Abdurrahman, give me this miswak, because she knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he loves the siwak. So she looked at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he looked at her, giving her the approval, yeah. And she began to bite this miswak and soften it, and then she began to brush the teeth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So that's what she meant when she said that at the end of his life, my saliva was mixing with the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. After he finished using the siwak, he raised his hand on his finger and he looked up toward the ceiling and he began to move his lips. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she began to listen to him and she heard him saying, مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ That the Prophet ﷺ was saying, with those on whom you have bestowed your grace, with the prophets, the truthful ones, the martyrs, and the good doers. O Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me, and join me to the companionship on high. Then, subhanAllah, after this, he began to keep uttering these words in intervals. Then finally, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Then on Monday, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, in the 11th year of the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of 63 years old and 4 days, he passed away. And he passed away where? In the lap of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, if you want to know the bond of their relationship, listen to the statement of Salama, the wife of the Prophet. She said, وَلَقَدَ كَانَتْ أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِلَّا أَبِيهَا. She said about Aisha and the Prophet, she said, indeed, she was the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the exception of her father. Anas bin Malik, he said something very beautiful. أول الحب في الإسلام. He said, the first love that we ever knew in Islam was the love of our mother Aisha bint Abi Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abi Salama, he says, subhanAllah, that one day Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said to her, Ya Aisha, هذا جبريل. O Aisha, this is جبريل. وهو يقرأ عليك السلام, and he is sending his salams to you. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. She responded to جبريل عليه السلام. SubhanAllah, this hadith, it tells us about the great, great quality of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, that جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام, he gave his salams to her. Another important hadith now, as we continue talking about the life of our mother Aisha after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until her death 58 years after the hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this hadith is going to form the foundation of the rest of our examination of her life. And this is the hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. That the Prophet Muhammad said that the blessing of Aisha compared to other women is like the blessing of Thareed upon other foods. Thareed is a famous dish which is eaten even to this day in the Gulf countries. And Thareed, it is known as being a complete dish. So the Prophet Muhammad وسلم, he is saying that Aisha radiallahu anha, she is a complete example of a Muslim woman. She exemplifies the comprehensive nature of a Muslim woman. And now we're going to continue talking about her life after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we're going to see that she played many, many roles after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. She was a scholar. She was a mother to who? To the Muslims, in the sense how kind she was and generous she was to Muslims. She was a statesman, as we're going to talk about inshaAllah ta'ala. She was a mufti, she used to give fatwa. She was a judge, she used to judge between the people. She was a scholar, she was the principal of a school which she had in her own house in Medina. She did everything, subhanAllah. Therefore her life, as the Prophet mentioned, is like Thareed. She was a complete Muslim. She had the whole package. Between spirituality, activism and knowledge, she had all three of them. Her life under Abu Bakr was very short, because we know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he only lived for 2 years. Thus, 15 years after the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, she lost her father. Her mother Rumman, she died 6 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So now Aisha radiallahu anha was left without any parents. Her life under Umar, really we can say it was under the life of Umar radiallahu anhu that her life blossomed. And it was in this period, under the reign of Umar, that Aisha radiallahu anha became distinguished as a scholar amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To know her greatness, subhanAllah, Umar radiallahu anhu, he stipulated that for every wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a yearly salary of 10,000 dirham. But for Aisha radiallahu anha, our leader Umar, he gave her 12,000 dirham. That was because of her closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her life under Uthman was similar to that of Umar, and with his terrible assassination and under the reign of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, This is where we find the life of Aisha bint Abi Bakr took a very difficult turn. Perhaps, subhanAllah, no part of the life of our mother has been more scrutinized than her experience under the reign of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhum. But before we begin, inshallah, to talk briefly about what happened, I want to remind us of a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is related by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Do not insult my companions. By him in whose hand is my soul, if any of you spent in charity as much gold as the mountain of Uhud, it would not equal to 1 pound of charity spent by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam." When Uthman bin Affan was assassinated in Medina, our mother Aisha, she was on Hajj. And she was immediately informed of this by Az-Zubair and Talha radiallahu anhuma. And subhanAllah, she left from the Hajj, headed directly towards Basra to meet Ali ibn Abi Talib and to try to make peace between the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Unfortunately, some events took place and our mother Aisha radiallahu anha found herself in the middle of this conflict between the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that in this battle between the followers of Ali radiallahu anhu and the followers of Muawiyah, Aisha radiallahu anha came out on a camel. Thus, this battle is known as the Battle of the Camel. SubhanAllah, a lesson we can take from this is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she was corrected by many of the companions, not for her actual position or participation in the political process, but because of her leaving her home. So subhanAllah, from this story we can see that a woman, she can be involved. She can give her decision. She can offer her ideas in the times of fitna that face the community. And inshaAllah ta'ala, when we talk about Hafsa and also about Salama radiallahu anhuma, we plan to inshaAllah elaborate on that in greater detail. She came out to the battle, and there we know that the party of Ali defeated the other party. And subhanAllah, to give you a glimpse of what this battle really represented and how, subhanAllah, it tore at the hearts of the companions. Look at the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. When some of the people who are with him, who are not from the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ask him, "How come you didn't seize the goods of Aisha after you conquered this army?" And look at the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, who said to them, "How could you take the goods of your mother? How could you take the goods of your mother?" SubhanAllah, I believe that the best statement with regards to this problem which took place between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the statement of Umar bin Abdulaziz radiallahu anhu. Umar bin Abdulaziz was asked about this great fitna that took place between the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "This fitna is a fitna, this trial is a trial which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected our hands from. Should we not protect our tongues from it?" And after that, Umar bin Abdulaziz, he didn't say anything else. Inshallah, let's focus on some of the general roles of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her contribution to the Muslim community until her death. The first and foremost area where Aisha radiallahu anha played a major role was in the role of knowledge. You know, subhanAllah, if you go to the Qur'an and you look at all the supplications of the Qur'an, you will only find one supplication where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for an increase in something. And this is in Surah Al-Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, "O my Lord, increase me in knowledge." SubhanAllah, out of everything in the Qur'an, the only supplication where we have been ordered to ask for an increase in something is knowledge. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a gift to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, given to this ummah directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is one of the wisdoms why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to marry her at a young age. Because from this age of being a young woman until the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, she was enrolled in the madrasa of Muhammadiyya sallallahu alayhi wasalam. She was in the madrasa of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was there that she was the valedictorian of her class, the greatest student of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Look at the statement of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, as related by Imam al-Dhahabi in his famous book Sirah ala Manubla, who says, Subhanallah, there was not a problem that came upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except what? فَسَأَلْنَا عَائِشَ عَنْهُ إِلَّا وَجَدَنَا عَنْدَهَا مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. He said, Subhanallah, we never incurred any problem, except we would go to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and we would ask her, and we would find that she was knowledgeable, subhanallah, in this subject. Masruq was a great tabi, rahmatullah alayh. And he says, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ رَأَيْنَا الْأَكَابِرَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَسْأَلُونَ عَائِشَ عَنِ الْفَرَائِضِ. He said, Subhanallah, I swear by Allah that we saw some of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking our mother Aisha radiallahu anha about the fara'id. Listen to the statement of Urwa. Urwa was the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr. Therefore, he was the nephew of our mother Aisha. And Urwa, he was the greatest student of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. عروة, he says on behalf of his father, ما رأيت أحدا من الناس. He said, I did not see anyone from amongst the people. أعلم بالقرآن ولا بفريضة ولا بحلال ولا بحرام ولا بشعر ولا بحديث العرب ولا بنسب من عائشة رضي الله عنها. سبحان الله. He says, I did not see anyone more knowledgeable in the Qur'an, in the Fariḍa, in the Halal, in the Haram, in the poetry of the Arabs, in the lineage of the Arabs, than our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Imam al-Zuhri. Imam al-Zuhri was the teacher of Imam Malik ibn Anas. And he says, لو جمع علم الآئشة, if you were to gather together all of the knowledge of Aisha and compare that to all of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the women who were Muslims, kana ilmu Aisha radiyallahu anha akthar. Subhanallah. He said that the knowledge of Aisha would be more. In another narration, he even said the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa kana ilmu Aisha akthar, and the knowledge of Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, would be more than them. Now, subhanallah, as you're driving around in your car, brother or sister, or as you listen to this CD on your Walkman or at your computer, now, subhanallah, let us take a moment to leave the environment that we're in and let's enter into the madrasa of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. It is known, subhanallah, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a school in Medina, and there she used to teach thousands and thousands of people who would come to ask her questions about every science, even mathematics, even poetry, even medicine. Aisha radiallahu anha, subhanallah, she was knowledgeable in all of these affairs. In fact, one day her nephew Urwa, he came upon her radiallahu anha, and he said, Wallahi, oh my auntie, there is nothing which amazes me more about your knowledge, because I should expect you being the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will know the Quran, that you'll know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you will know the occasions of revelation of the Quran, that you will be knowledgeable in fiqh, that you'll be knowledgeable in all of the Islamic sciences. He says, but what amazes me is your knowledge in medicine. How come, subhanallah, you have this knowledge of medicine? And she said, subhanallah, when I used to serve the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam towards his death, this is when I became acquainted with the knowledge of medicine. And from that time on, I acquired a good familiarity with the science. Subhanallah, now let's leave the environment that we're in and let's go into the school of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha. Let's sit amongst the students and let's see how this great sheikha, how this great murabbiya, she used to teach the people and train the people on knowledge. Sa'ad ibn Hisham ibn Amr, he was living in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I decided that one day I wanted to sell everything that I had and go to fight the Romans. And he said, I came to the people of Medina and they dissuaded me from this and they encouraged me to study and to learn. And he said, Subhanallah, I went to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and I said to him, can you direct me to someone who can tell me about the witr prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, ala adullaka ala a'lami ahli al-ard bi witri rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to him, shall I not guide you to the one who has the most knowledge about the witr of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The one who is the most knowledgeable on the earth about the witr of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'ad, he said to him, man? Then Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Aisha. Sa'ad ibn Hisham, he requested Hakim to take him to see our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Hakim, he came to the home of our mother Aisha and he begged subhanAllah to be allowed to see her. And we have to understand that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to talk to the people behind a curtain. So when he said that he's going to see her, he was not going to see actually our mother, but he was going to talk to her. And many ulama like Ibn Hajar and others, they said this order to speak behind the curtain, min wara al-hijab, is only for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. The proof is, toward the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, a woman came to him as related by Imam al-Bukhari, and she asked the Prophet ﷺ a question directly. And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't put a curtain between himself and this woman, but he told her, come tomorrow. And she said, what if I don't see you tomorrow? Meaning that in those days, the people felt that the Prophet ﷺ, his time was coming, that he was going to die. He said to her, as related by al-Bukhari, if you don't find me, go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the point is, the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke to this woman without a curtain between him and himself. But here we see Hakim and Sa'd ibn Hisham speaking to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha behind a curtain. Also in Al-Hajj, Aisha radiallahu anha used to teach thousands of people on the Hajj, and she would be sitting behind a curtain. So he says, we begged to go into the home of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, to her school. And they were allowed in by our mother radiallahu anha. And she said, are you Hakim? And he said, yes. And she said, who is there with you? He said, Sa'd ibn Hisham. Then she said, which Hisham? He said, he is Hisham ibn Amr. She blessed him with mercy from Allah and spoke well of him. Because actually the father of Sa'd ibn Hisham ibn Amr, he died in the battle of Uhud. Sa'd ibn Hisham, he says, I said, mother of the faithful, tell me about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, subhanAllah, we are entering into the madrasa of our mother. He said, tell me about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A quick lesson we can take from this is how the companions and their students had this great, great love and earnest to love al-adab, to learn character. The first thing you ask about is what? The khuliq of Nabiyyillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nowadays, we don't even learn adab. We learn everything but adab. That's why you can find many people with knowledge, but they have many diseases in their hearts. You can find many people with knowledge and they're rude with other people. They're not soft with other people. You greet them, say, assalamu alaikum, and they look at you like, like they want to bite your head off. But subhanAllah, here we see the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing he's asking about is the khuliq of Nabiyyillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, the teacher of this madrasa, she responded and said, don't you read the Quran? He said, yes. Upon this, she said, kana khuliqu Nabiyyillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Quran. That the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. SubhanAllah, Sa'd ibn Hisham, he said, at that moment, I felt, because of the awe he had for our mother, this shaykha, this alima, he said, I felt inclined to get up and not ask anything else till I died. He said, but subhanAllah, then I changed my mind. And I said, can you tell me about the observant of the night prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, don't you read in the Quran, ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you who are wrapped up? He said, yes. She said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted and the glorious, made the observant of the night prayer an obligation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, for 1 year, they observed the night prayer until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed this obligation from the companions. However, he kept this obligation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, mother of the faithful, inform me about the witr of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and listen to what detail Aisha radiallahu anha is going to describe certain aspects of the witr of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, I used to prepare the miswak for him and the water for his wudu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would cause the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to wake up, and then he would use his miswak and perform wudu, and then he would pray his witr. Then Sa'd ibn Hisham, he left the madrasa of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Something interesting about this hadith also, which is related by al-Bukhari, is how Aisha is referring to Sa'd ibn Hisham as her son. Oh my son, ya bunayya, ya bunayya, ya bunayya. Why? Because she's the mother of the believers. And secondly, the great kindness that the teacher should have for the student. That they should treat the student with great, 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 great kindness. I remember, subhanAllah, one time I was studying with a sheikh and my kufi, it fell from my head. And he went to grab the kufi and put it on my head. And I was shy for him to do it. Then he put the kufi on my head and he looked at me and he said, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran, that the believers are soft to the believers. Aisha radiallahu anha, she had also many, many great students who were women. One of them, Ash-Shifa bint Abdul Rahman. Ash-Shifa bint Abdul Rahman was one of the great, great, great students of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to encourage that women will study and become knowledgeable. In fact, we find in an authentic hadith, she used to say, Ni'mun nisa, nisa'ul ansar. She said the most blessed and virtuous women were the women of the Ansar. Why? She said, La yamna'uhunna, la yamna'uhunna al-haya'u an yatafaqahna fi al-deen. She said their shyness did not keep them from gaining an understanding of the religion. Although they were shy, still they used to, subhanAllah, study, and they had knowledge, and they were great, great, alhamdulillah, scholars from the Ansar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. One of the outstanding qualities of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha is her ability to speak very, very fluently in Arabic and very beautifully in Arabic. In fact, Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, he says, سمعت خطبة أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الخطاب وعثمان ابن عفان وعلي بن أبي طالب. He says, I heard the speeches of Abu Bakr, of Umar, of Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. فما سمعت الكلام, but I have never heard a speech better than the speech of Aisha radiallahu anha. SubhanAllah, if you look at some of the narrations of Aisha, for example, the narration where she says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a cold day and the revelation was coming upon him. You know, subhanAllah, in some narrations she says, and I saw the sweat coming from his head. But in other narrations, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she would say, I saw pearls coming from the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith of Ifk, which we alluded to earlier, she said, subhanAllah, after her mother Rumman radiallahu anha told her what the people said, listen to how Aisha radiallahu anha responds. When she's describing this incident, she says, I could not apply the medicine of sleep to my eyes. And this is balagha in Arabic, saying I could not apply the medicine of sleep to my eyes. She didn't just say, I couldn't sleep. But look at the beautiful words of our mother, Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the famous hadith found in Sahih Bukhari on how the revelation began being sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says that the first thing that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the signs of revelation was al-ru'ya al-sadiqah, was the true dreams. And she says, فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيَا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلِقِ الصُّبْحِ. Subhanallah, look at the beauty of the speech of Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never saw a dream except it came true. No, she didn't say it like that. She said he never saw any dream except it came true like the morning dawn. SubhanAllah, she used this very, very beautiful expression. The hadith of Umm Zar, the hadith which we discussed earlier, the beauty and eloquence found in the description of this hadith from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha has caused ulama to write entire volumes just on the hadith of Umm Zar. A quick lesson we can take from this aspect of the life of our mother is that the one involved in da'wah always has to try to do the best, always should choose the best way to propagate the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. Not only was she a scholar, but she served as a safeguard amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in her fiqh, she utilized the Qur'an as the first resource for the faqih. She was one of the five women who were married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who memorized the Qur'an. And this is something very important, sisters. That if you look through the life of Aisha, if you look at the hadith of Ifk, if you look at the questions of Sa'd ibn Hisham, what does Aisha keep going back to? The Qur'an, the Qur'an, the Qur'an. And now, inshallah, as we talk about some of the discussions and differences that she had with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find again she's going to go to the Qur'an. And we're going to find at the end of her life, as she's dying, she goes to the Qur'an. SubhanAllah, how many of us, we have this connection with the Qur'an? Sisters, how many of you memorized more than half a juz of Qur'an? Brothers, how many of you memorized more than a juz or two juz of Qur'an? SubhanAllah, our mother Aisha, radiyallahu anha, the ultimate activist, the ultimate da'iyah, the ultimate sheikha, she has this connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Qur'an, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبَلِ اللَّهِ, hold on to the rope of Allah. The ulama, they said the rope of Allah, like Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, he said that the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. One of the outstanding qualities of our mother was that she knew the reasons why certain revelations were sent. And this was a great, great, great assistant to her and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to say, subhanAllah, that indeed a verse of the Qur'an would be sent upon us during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we would memorize this verse, we would understand the halal and the haram of this verse, and we would understand the orders of this verse all at the same time. She had her own copy of the Quran, which she used to keep with her, and inside it she wrote her own tafsir. She was also extremely knowledgeable with regards to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you quantify all of the narrators of a hadith, you find that the first one was Abu Huraira. The second one was Abdullah bin Umar. The third one was Anas bin Malik. And the fourth greatest narrator of hadith on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ was Aisha radiallahu anha. She narrated 2,210 hadith. Imam al-Bukhari, he reported 54 hadith on behalf of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Imam Muslim, he quoted 68. If you take all of the Sahih Sitta, the famous six authentic books of the Sunnah, you find that Aisha radiallahu anha is number two in the number of narrations found in those books. SubhanAllah, the hadith of Aisha, they served also as an important asset to the jurist, because sometimes they might find two hadith which appear as conflicting. But subhanAllah, they will always go with the hadith of Aisha. Why? Because they said Aisha radiallahu anha, she lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam differed about a hadith, they would refer to Aisha radiallahu anha. One day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that whoever follows the funeral procession will be given a great, great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qirat. A qirat, which means a great, great amount of reward. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he doubted this narration on behalf of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira, he said to Abdullah bin Umar, if you doubt me, then let's go to a source who can clarify this issue for us. And subhanAllah, where did they go? They went to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, Sadaqa Abu Huraira, Sadaqa Abu Huraira, Sadaqa Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira has spoken the truth. Abu Huraira has spoken the truth. Abu Huraira has spoken the truth. Then Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, indeed, we lost a great reward, a qirat of reward, because we failed to take this hadith and apply it, subhanAllah, until now. She commented on such theological issues as if the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the Prophet ﷺ knew the unseen in the future, if the Prophet hid any information about what had been sent to him. And this hadith is found in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, that Aisha radiallahu anha said, whoever says that the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a liar. And then she read the verse from Surah Ash-Shura that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only communicates to his creation through the use of al-wahi, or behind the hijab, behind the curtain. Then, if the Prophet ﷺ had hid any information which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to him, and she said, whoever said this is a liar, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيْهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. O Messenger of Allah, deliver the message which has been sent to you, which has been revealed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She also discussed if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knew the unseen. And she said, whoever said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knew the future or the unseen is a liar. And again, she quoted a verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, we see here again the connection of our mother Aisha with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She helped discuss the order of the Qur'an when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were putting the Qur'an together in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She discussed why the mission of the Prophet succeeded in Mecca. She helped in many rulings regarding to the Friday prayer. She discussed the shortening of the prayers on a journey. She discussed fasting the 10th of Muharram. And she talked a lot about the Hajj and the meaning of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we come now to the death of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, which took place in 56 after the migration of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina, we finish by talking about her greatest quality. Even though she had all of this knowledge, and even though she was so close to the Prophet ﷺ, she was so humble, and she had this humility. And nowadays, subhanAllah, this is something we don't find. Somebody reads fiqh sunnah, and now he wants to give a fatwa. Somebody studies one book with one sheikh, like Al-Ajurumiyyah, and he thinks now he's Sibawai. Subhanallah, Iblis, he knows more than all of us. But what was it that Iblis he lacked? He lacked, subhanAllah, this humility and this akhlaq. And that's why the poet, he says, Al-ilmu kal-ghaythi wal-akhlaqu turbatuhu. إن تفسد الأرض تذهب نعمة المتري إبليس أعلم أرض قاطبة والناس تلعنه في البدو والحدر. The poet said that knowledge is like rain and the behavior is the soil. If the soil becomes polluted, then the rain can have no benefit. Meaning if the behavior of a person is polluted and corrupted, then the knowledge they're getting is not going to help them at all. Then he said, Iblis, he knows more than all of the people. But what people cursing Iblis from the countryside to the city. So subhanAllah, this humility. And now we come to the death of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, as related by Imam al-Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he wanted to visit Aisha before her death. And at that time she was in a state of pain. And she said, I'm afraid that if this guy, he visits me, he's going to praise me too much. SubhanAllah, look at how Aisha radiallahu anha is taking care of her soul. That she doesn't want to die being arrogant. She doesn't want to die with somebody praising her, making her drunk with his praises. So she said, I'm scared that if this guy, he visits me, he's going to praise me too much. And then it was said to her, he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of the prominent Muslims. Then she said, let him in. He came to her and he said, how are you? And subhanAllah, listen to the response of our mother. She said, I am okay if I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Allah willing, you are okay, as you are the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not marry any virgin except you. And proof of your innocence was revealed from the heavens. And he kept praising her and kept praising her. And finally, Aisha, she said, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyan mansiya. SubhanAllah, she recited these verses from Surah Maryam, where she says, oh my Lord, I wish I died before this, and I was something which was forgotten, never mentioned. And then our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, a short time later, she passed away. Her funeral prayer was led by Abu Huraira, and she was buried in Al-Baqi' at night time, as that was her request. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with our mother Aisha, رضي الله عنها. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us banat and wives who will be like our mother Aisha رضي الله عنها. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر لكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.